Good morning and welcome to McFarland Memorial United Methodist Church. To those of you online and to those of you in the sanctuary, good morning. It is good to see you. It's good to see some of our third graders here this morning who will be receiving their Bibles. It's good to see you. It's good to see all of you, children and adults alike. Thank you for being in worship this morning. Our ushers are passing out our registration pads to those of you in the sanctuary, if you'll let us know that you are here. To those of you online, if you'll take just a quick moment to follow the link and also to let us know that you are worshiping with us this morning. To our guests and visitors, you will find in the pew in front of you a Connect card. If you will fill that out, and then after the worship service, if you'll take it to our second floor welcome desk, we have a gift for you just to say how much we appreciate you joining with us this morning in worship. Pastor Rockford will be with us in a few minutes. He's over in the modern worship service making a couple of announcements to them, and then he will be over here to join us shortly. Wherever we gather this morning, whether it's here in the sanctuary or online or wherever it is, together we join together and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This morning we start our new series titled All In, Our Promise. This is our stewardship focus as we consider ways to be all in through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And this morning in worship, we'll be focusing on our prayers and our presence. Tonight we have a special prayer service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, or you can join in on Zoom. Eve Hawley has put together a fantastic time for us to be in prayer together. And I promise you, you will not be asked to pray out loud. So come and join us. You can join in person here in the sanctuary at 7, or if you look at the webpage, mcfarlandumc.org, there's a link to join in on Zoom. But we hope that you will take advantage of that. You should have received in the mail our All In, Our Promise. It's a postcard that's got information about our series. And on the back, this year, we've added a new component to our stewardship time. We're calling it All In to Serve. We're looking for ways for us as a congregation to be all in through our faith and through our witness and through our work. And there's some fantastic opportunities to be in service. Tonight, or this afternoon, we have the crop walk, and next weekend we have a variety of opportunities to serve. Take a look at the postcard that you received in the mail, or look online and you can find all of the different ways that you can be all in here at McFarland. Let us know how we can be in prayer for you. One of the things that I love about staff meeting on Tuesday mornings is when we have the opportunity to gather together and to be praying for you by name. And if you have a specific way that we can be praying for you, there's a card in your pew in front of you that has a place where you can write down your prayer requests. You can drop that into the offering plate or send us an email. There's a link on the webpage just to let us know, how can we be praying for you? I find that to be a great joy and appreciate that opportunity. So now let us stand together and join in our opening hymn.
Thank you.
please join with me in our affirmation of faith, all in our promise. McFarland is all in for the promise of God's will and way revealed in Jesus. All in for our mission of changing lives that change the world. McFarland is all in with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. All in to do all in our power to strengthen the church's ministries. McFarland is all in to celebrate and remember those who came before us, those saints who built the foundation upon which we stand. McFarland, we trust God who is eternally all in. We celebrate God's unreserved and energetic promise of grace and peace. We are all in for the promise of our future together as Christ's church. For with God, all things are possible, that God may be all and in all. Amen. You may be seated. as we enter into our time of prayer, thinking about being all in. And there are so many things in all of our lives that we're all in, right? And it can seem like a burden. There's just so many things going on. Life just seems overwhelming sometimes. But when God calls us to be all in to his ministry through his church, it's not a burden. It's an opportunity, and it's meant to be a joy. It's meant to be a life-fulfilling commitment. And so as we think about that, let's enter into this time of prayer. Spirit of the living God, come and make your presence known to us this morning. Allow us to feel the great opportunities that you place before us when we make the choice to be all in. All in to your kingdom and all in to your church. All in to the call that you have placed upon each of our lives. And gracious Father, as you have called us to be all in, I can't help but think about the many times where you were all in for your people. When you were all in, when we were enslaved in Egypt and you led us to freedom. When you were all in by giving us your son, Jesus Christ, who would not only live to teach us a new way of living, but then would pay the ultimate price, the sacrifice of his life for our eternal life. I think about, oh God, the freedom that comes from knowing we are all in to live the way that you have molded and shaped each and every one of us with unique gifts and talents and opportunities. The way that you are all in, the way that you hear our prayers when we are crying out to you in those times of difficulty and struggle, but also when we are cheering for something amazing and miraculous that you have done in our lives. I think about how you call us to be all in by being present, not only present in this space on Sunday mornings, but present in your kingdom, wherever it is that we find ourselves during the week, whether it's at work or school or with friends or family. You're calling us to be all in to your kingdom in the way that we live, the way that we love, and the way that we share of our lives and of our testimonies. Today, oh God, I would pray that you would hear the things that burden us, the things that weigh us down, and that you would once again remind each and every one of us that you are all in for us. And now, God, we have the chance to gather together. People all over the world this morning are going to gather together and use these words in their own language, and it brings us together and brings us together as we pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 393, Spirit of the Living God, 393.
Well, Aaron and Derek and little Eva, it is so good to sit down with you all and to see you all. And, you know, we're talking about being all in our support and our prayers and our presence and our gifts and service and witness. And you all have been a part of the Community Sunday School class from the very beginning, really foundational, you know, the founders of that class. And so, you know, what has that class meant to you all? The prayers and just the support as you've been on this journey.
I think we've talked before that everybody just kind of knew that this was a special group that we really lucked out, and we were all able to really share in the class things we might not share with, you know, other acquaintances or friends or colleagues or, you know, anything like that. That was kind of our safe place.
Yeah, and it seemed like there was no warm-up period of the class.
Yeah.
When you get in a group of people that you really don't know very well, you know, you kind of have to warm up and develop relationships. It was almost like those relationships were instant. The friendships and, you know, the support that we've gotten out of there was just from the very start.
It's been since July, right?
Yeah.
Since you all have been here in the building, and that is because little Eva was born
yes.
in August. Do you all mind sharing why it's just so special and exciting to have Eva?
It was the moment we've been looking forward to for 7 years. So to be able to share that with everybody that's been praying for us, we've been going through a fertility journey for, like I said, seven years.
7 years.
It was a long road, and there were losses along the way, and all of our friends and the community class was there for everything, no matter what. And to finally be able to share that, you know, we're pregnant, and then it finally, you know, it worked, and we were gonna be a family, was just the best thing in the world to be able to share with everybody. So.
And to see everyone's reactions was humbling. It showed how invested in our journey they were also.
Oh, yeah.
To know that we didn't do it by ourselves, that we had, you know, not only our friends and family outside of the church, but we had such a great support group with our community class, that to see how invested they were was just amazing to feel.
From the first second we, you know, came to visit, when we were looking for a new church home, we felt that everybody was already all in with us, and they welcomed us 100%, 110%. Everybody was so friendly. Everybody was already there.
It felt like home.
It did.
It really felt like home.
To show back up for the church and to be all in, it was just something reciprocal, because that's the way it was when we first came here. And
then becoming members, we felt like we were all in. And then we started realizing there was more steps. We needed to be part of a Sunday school class. That Sunday school class grew into doing community activities with the food pantry and the mobile food pantry. It showed us there are other ways to support the church and to be all in than just to come to service on Sunday.
Well, McFarland is what it is because of people like you, because of the people. And so thank you for being a part of this church and for making it a great place to be, and a place where God's love is shared in many different ways. And we love you. We are so excited for you and for little Eva, and just can't wait to watch her grow up here.
That's one thing that we've talked about, is that it's so exciting to know that she's already got, you know, this place, this home, this church home, that she's already so loved and she doesn't even know it, to grow up here and to learn what it means to be a child of God. Even though we talk about it all the time, she'll start living into that and know what that means. And that's one of the best parts.
Thank you.
Holy and Hosanna. That's great praise. Thank you, choir. Before we sing the doxology, I want to share a few things from my heart related to the recent feasibility study. I've put what I have in my heart on paper so I can be concise and not take too much time right here. You know, although the pandemic distancing has hindered our getting to know each other over these last 15 months, I have really come to know this church as a faithful church. Your faithfulness, your love for God and each other, and your desire to worship and serve and grow and to maintain the unity and vitality of this church both now and for the future. So recently, the trustees completed a professional feasibility study to see if we could accomplish substantial and necessary mechanical needs repairs, other renovations, and a needed replacement for the 87-year-old Aldersgate house that is home to our growing food pantry. I read the full report, including every comment that every person made and that was recorded as a part of that survey. There was much affirmation and confidence expressed in the results of that study. It showed that we can raise a substantial amount of funds for necessary repairs. Good questions were raised in the study. Your responses also made it clear that the pandemic, with its disruption and its unclear endpoint and impact, along with the denominational debate about the questions regarding human sexuality, create in this moment too much of a sense of uncertainty to proceed with the full construction proposal. Therefore, the scope of the proposal is being reviewed according to the feasibility study results. We are listening to you. On the matter of financial concern, I want to assure you that we will exercise financial responsibility, we will live within our means, and we will avoid the burden of debt that would keep us from doing ministry during this time when we may feel uncertain or tentative. Nevertheless, I believe we will also, at the same time, must be spiritually courageous and willing to do all we can prudently and feasibly do of what is necessary and essential for both the infrastructure of this building and the ministry of God's work through McFarland. With regard to the denominational debate, contrary to some who predict something like a 50-50 division in churches, based on our survey of several months ago and other surveys and conversations I'm having with people in our congregation, I am convinced that at least 75% and up to 80 or 90% of our people, perhaps everyone wants this, but are willing to stay together, thinks we should stay together and we can remain together for our future. In fact, new people are joining us regularly, in part because we are a church where different convictions share a common mission and embrace a shared future. Furthermore, I assure you that we have time. We have time to continue to do great ministry together until we resolve the denomination's questions near the end of 2022, or probably into 2023, as the current official timeline of our denomination now stands. And any final decision of this church would surely be made in a church conference that would include all of the membership of the church. If you wonder, and some people do occasionally, who leads us as elected lay leadership, along with pastors and staff, and who is our general conference team, I'm glad to provide that for you. In fact, we pledge to be open and honest and timely in our communication. In fact, we will soon again provide updates about the persons and the work of our general conference team that helps us prepare and manage that system. Dear church, I just want to say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the questions, I'm not afraid of the uncertainty, I'm not afraid of the challenges that we face. I know that this church has great capacity of heart and mind and soul, great capacity to learn together, to live together, to navigate rough waters together, to stay flexible and resilient together, and take the time we need to find our way into the future prayerfully and faithfully. I am here and committed. I would say I'm all in, not because that's our theme for this season, but because I am. I'm all in to navigate the current headwinds and see us well into the launching of the next 100 years of the McFarland story of being God's church with true faith and certain hope and a vibrant and life-changing love for God, love for neighbors, and the world. Church, we will be okay together. We will be okay. I invite you to join me in listening, praying, and learning our way into the future. I believe we will exercise that holy and tenacious act of imagination called hope by our scriptures. God is with us. Our God, who has promised never to leave us or forsake us, cares about this church and our future together and the mission that we can do for the community and the world. In our membership vows, we pledge to do all in our power to strengthen the ministries of the church. And for me, and I believe for the church, that means that we will do all in our power to strengthen the unity and the longevity of this great church. With God, we can. With grace, we can. Together, and by the grace of God, we can make it so. Stand, if you would, in praise of God who has given us this church. Thank you, church, for that affirmation of God's power and presence among us to lead us. We stand in praise now because God has given this church as a gift of ministry to this community. Praise be to God.
You may be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. Hear now these words. After Peter and John were released from prison, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, perhaps this brief demonstration on the organ will give us a feel for the shaking followed by the filling of the Spirit described in the scripture I just read. Thank you.
Let us pray. Oh God, we're gathered as your people in your presence, and we're listening for the voice of your Spirit speaking to us, because we've come with our own personal or family challenges or other things in our lives. We've come together today to find again consolation and courage and confidence. And so for the advance of the mission of Jesus and for the nurture of our own lives, we come listening. Amen. So did you feel that? That shaking? I don't think we caused the windows. I think that was hail. Several years ago, I was upstairs. I'd gone to bed before Elizabeth. She was downstairs, and the bed began to shake. And she came running up the stairs in that 100-year-old parsonage in Chickasha and said, "Did you feel that?" Well, of course I felt that, yes. The church and church people have always felt God in various ways. Not that feelings alone define our faith or our understanding of God. I am very much a thinking person and believe we must think our faith as well as feel it. But I do believe that God feels what goes on with us and that our thinking and feeling are always integrated. The scene in today's scripture narrative happens not long after the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fills the emerging church, evidenced by phenomena of wind and fire, and the result on that day, after that day, was both bold proclamation and stunning miracles of healing. In the days following Pentecost, the apostles Peter and John have been speaking boldly about Jesus, about resurrection, and due to their ministry, an amazing miracle occurs. A man who's been lame for 40 years is healed. That high-impact healing gains them favor with the general population, but disdain from the same authorities that succeeded in crucifying Jesus. So they arrest Peter and John, but they're forced to release them because the people are so excited about their ministry, but they release them only after they double down on threatening them. Such threats coming from those successful in crucifying Jesus send Peter and John immediately to the safety of their own tribe, we could say, their friends and fellow followers of the way of Jesus, to the gathered church, into the presence of the church. They need to be and want to be in the presence of companions in the faith. They have been warned and threatened specifically to, well, shut up, to stop speaking about the resurrection, perhaps in a way similar to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he agonizes over the thought of his impending crucifixion and prays that he might not have that experience. Here, Peter and John go to the church agonizing over thoughts of surrendering, of giving up the ministry of the church, because of the danger to them and their families. So they tell the church about their experience. Immediately, the church senses the danger and the threat, not only to the church, but to each of them in their own lives, and the church launches into a concert of prayer that is scripted partly by quoting or reading scripture together. They all say the same thing at the same time in this narrative that Luke gives us, like we do when we pray a written prayer together. Those present together pray together. Those connected together pray together. They combine prayers and presence in a most moving way. Gathered and connected, they pray in concert. You know, there's something powerful that happens when a bunch of people gathered all sing the same known song together. Maybe you've been in a stadium or an arena, a concert hall, all the people singing America the Beautiful on a 4th of July celebration, or everyone singing along with Neil Diamond on Sweet Caroline, or everyone singing Hey Jude with Paul McCartney, or even better, when a great choir like this and a church like this puts all its voices together and sings Amazing Grace or How Firm a Foundation or the Hallelujah Chorus. All the voices are caught up in a great swell of thought and emotion that becomes virtually or truly a transcendent experience. Last Tuesday evening, two small thunderstorms out in the prairie of western Oklahoma, all by themselves out there, separated from each other, roared into supercell thunderstorms of cyclonic intensity. They started out small, but then they gathered all the energy from around them, all the moisture from around them, and built up into this enormous, loud, earth-shaking, thunderous, hail-throwing storm. Something similar happens in a positive way when human voices are drawn together in energetic singing, worship, and prayer. We can experience the mystery of the very presence of God. We can sense the virtual presence of the tremendous and fascinating transcendent activity of God. So it is that Peter and John, feeling the threats that confront and tempt them, know it is time to gather with the church. They go to experience a renewal of what they had heard and seen on the day of Pentecost, what they had felt, because the combined prayers and presence of their church family then opened them up to a kind of fill-up of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The threats that may have shaken their confidence and could have quashed their ministry quickly lose their effect. They feel God responding as if in their bones. Like the wind and fire at Pentecost, the shaking is a biblical signal used in Scripture to confirm that that God has shown up with assurance and empowerment. So when I felt the shaking upstairs in the Chickasha parsonage, and Elizabeth felt it downstairs, we were feeling the earth quaking because something was happening deep down in the earth. Stones arguing with stones. Tectonic plates shifting a little bit. When the church prays in concert because challenges exist, when the church gathers to console and to encourage, to unite voices, hearts, and minds in pursuit of discernment and direction, when we show up and or connect, bringing with us whatever threatens my family, myself, my church, whatever, then our collective prayer concert has an effect on the deep soul of God. The God of the universe. And something deep down in the heart of God moves. And God responds in ways to move us. God helps us be more aware of God's own presence and helps us feel again our belovedness. And like God says to Jesus at the baptism, we hear this echo through Christ to our own lives and to the church. You are my child. You are well loved. You are my beloved. God renews boldness to live and confidence to act. We can expect to realize the renewal of an almost earth-shaking confidence in God's response, mediated through our experiences as ordinary people of faith when present together in concerted prayer and conversation. So how is it that we pray well together? First, we maximize the promise of our presence. You've done that by connecting by live stream and online. You've done that by gathering in this place, trying to maximize our presence. We do it weekly in both worship and small group, Sunday school and UMW circle and other gatherings, even of ministry and even administration. Those of you who are connected mainly online during this time, or maybe for other reasons, I want you to know that we who gather in this place love you and respect you and want to be in concerted prayer with you. Of course, you know and we know very well that worship in person is a little more richer, a little more full than it is when we're connected online. And yet, thank God for the technology that we can be in connection and be in prayer together. And some people can't join us on Sunday morning because they work or their health restrictions keep them from coming. And so, thank God that we can do it that way as well. Secondly, we put any threatening realities right in front of God. The first of the two specific prayer requests in this scripture prayer is, Lord, take a look at these threats. You know, even though we believe God already sees the challenges that are right in front of us, we open ourselves to God's presence by believing that God cares enough to invite us and to listen to us, giving voice to our woes and what scares us. Lord, look at my health. Lord, look at these financial concerns. Lord, look at the havoc of this horrible pandemic and all the disruption it causes. Lord, look at the mess I've made in my life. Lord, look at the conflict in the world. Lord, just look at this. Having maximized our presence and having asked God to pay attention to our scares and our scarcities, next we pray in the presence of friends. We pray scripture prayers. We pray using our hymns and singing our prayers. We pray using books of prayers. We pray gathered. We pray connected. We pray spontaneously. We pray written unison prayers. And we pray silently together while someone leads us in prayer. We pray in the presence of friends. To pray well together, we also expect God to respond. To expect a response from God, though, is not to think we control God. It is to believe that in a way cloaked in mystery, God is influenced by our concerted praying. We don't have command and control power. I have on my keyboard a command key and a control key. And with those, I can do amazing things. And I can get myself into trouble, too. And sometimes the computer just shuts me down. But I have command and control of a lot of things. It commands the mouse, and the mouse controls the computer, etc., etc. But God's not a computer, of course. We believe that the God of the universe, that the creating energy of the whole cosmos that sustains and animates all that exists, is personal. Akin to the way we are personal, made plain in Jesus of Nazareth, and also in ways transcendent to our experience. What we can have, not control, but we can have confidence that God hears and responds. There is a stark difference between control and confidence. Prayer is actually the antidote to the illusion of control. It's also the antidote to the illusion that we have no influence with God and the future. God clearly is open to us praying, invites us to pray, Lord, look at this. Look at this. Oh, invites us to pray for help because what is yet to happen is still somewhat open to us and even in a sense, mysteriously to God. We can have tremendous confidence that God is with us and actively guiding and empowering us. Scripture teaches us that we can be confident knowing that God is with us, listening, loving, correcting, and persuading as the future unfolds, and that together with God, by the grace of God, by the leadership and the power of God, together with God, we collaborate with God to help influence the future that we will experience. It wouldn't be honest of God to ask us to pray and say, bring me all your burdens and ask me all your questions, if everything was preset, like we were on a raft ride at an amusement park where everything's scripted and it happens the same way every time, as if we're just waiting to run in to whatever's been laid out for us in that way. God is in this amazing adventure with us, shaping us, guiding us, giving us value, guiding us by Scripture, and filling us with hope, and giving us confidence to step with God into the future and claim it with God. When we give up the illusion of control, then we expect God to deliver earth-shaking confidence and expect wonderfully good things to happen. We can expect evidence that we are on the right path. In churches, that may mean new members joining. It may mean ministries growing. It may mean all kinds of things. So church, let's be open to God. Let's be open when we worship and when we pray together. Let's be confident and optimistic. Let's believe that the things that threaten to shake our confidence might themselves give way to the greater transcendent shaking of the active presence of God. In March of 2019, several homeowners in a certain area of Canton, Ohio, were reporting a mysterious vibration causing their house to shake. They had no idea why. Pictures were falling off the walls. Water in a glass would be rippling, shaking. There was this loud, intense buzzing and rumbling noises. And one 20-year resident named Mackie Howe said, it's like nothing he had ever experienced before. It's disturbing. Sometimes it lasts an hour. Sometimes it lasts all night. And he said, I'm familiar with all the normal noises and sounds around here, the airport, the train, the I-275 freeway. This is something very, very different. When we pray in concerted prayer, we can expect something very, very different, very holy, very remarkable to happen. We can endure and even transcend trouble and political muck and all kinds of things. We can transcend selfishness and begin to track with the wisdom of God. We can defy the naysayers. Prayer in the presence of faithful friends is a great invitation for God to shake out our fears and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Concerted prayer can give us that rather earth-rattling confidence in the power of our resurrecting God. It renews our ability to transcend all threats and challenges and overcome all pressures and pain to the end that we find and forge our way through threatening challenges, whether to us personally or to our families or to our family of faith. Let's be open. Let's be open to feel something, to think something, to have the thought and the intuition that the energy and wisdom of God is at work in our concerted, connected, life of prayers, our prayers and our presence are foundational for our lives together and for each of us in our lives and in our families. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for your eternal, constant presence with us, for the great strength of your love, and all the ways that it changes us, carries us, and gives us confidence. You indeed are the foundation of our lives. And so we offer you ourselves one more time to be your people, to be your church. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. I want you to be aware before we sing that there's a prayer service tonight at 7 p.m. right here. It's also on Zoom. You may have heard about it earlier. Scott may have said something. But keep that in mind. We'd love for you to connect with us in that way. Now let's stand to sing. Take your bulletin with you as your hymnal. We're going to pray together in the middle of this hymn, and it's printed for you in your bulletin. How Firm a Foundation, number 529, 529.
Please join me in prayer. By the riches of your glory, O God, grant that we may be strengthened eternally with power by your Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, as we are being rooted and grounded in love. May we have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of your grace for all the families of the earth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with the full measure of your presence.
Church, we have a new member joining us today. You may be seated for just a moment. The choir is coming to join with, stand in support of Carrie Spear, who's coming to join today. And I'm so pleased that God has laid this on her heart to do today. Carrie's been worshiping with us, of course, for some time, singing in the choir. She was baptized as an infant in the Episcopal Church, and today we're confirming her faith and receiving her into membership. Carrie, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Upon your profession and statement of faith, I would ask you, as a member of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Wonderful. Congregation, you have printed for you a statement of welcome, and I invite you to say that with me as we welcome Carrie. We welcome you to this congregation, and with you we renew our vows to uphold the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Welcome. I'll ask you to walk out with me if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
And stand with me, and you can greet more people there. We have a Bible for you from the church and recommend that to you for your life and study going forward in the faith. It's a good day, church, to be together. Would you stand now again for us? We have printed today's sending forth, so you'll find it there, also from Ephesians. And so let us, in concert together, lift our voices in prayer. Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.